Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Julie Rogers, Pamelia as the granddaughter. 720 WGN.
Sorry, that was kind of funny.
Well, I hope so.
I liked it.
Thank you. Good. I'm glad you did. I thought it was fitting.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And I teased. I watched some of your previous interviews online, and learned a lot of really great stuff. And I teased you coming on by saying something to the effect of, we're going to connect Roy Rogers with the NFL, which is something you don't normally hear. And coincidentally, sometime tonight, the NFL is going to announce the new schedule. But when I heard what your dad did with the NFL, I really was amazed. Tell everybody what that relationship is, or was, rather. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, he did so well at his merchandising with his own name and likeness that he started thinking of other ways to, lengthen his career when he saw that his movie and acting days were going to start coming, to an end at some point. And he thought, I wonder, there's so many people that are interested in sports teams. I wonder if Major League Baseball would be interested. And so he went to the baseball league, and they weren't interested. They said, no thanks. And so he said, well, how about the football teams? So he went to the NFL, and they were very interested. And so they started having talks, and he got a contract with them. And for three years, all of the NFL merchandising was under Grandpa's umbrella.
What?
And
what?
And,
really?
Yeah, I know. And the person that he had in charge of merchandising, when the contract came up for renewal, jumped ship and then went with the NFL and kind of took everything with him. And so I found out because I was sitting at the dentist office and I was reading a Time magazine. And, you can't believe everything you read. So when I went home, I called my Uncle Dusty and I said, is this true? And he says, yeah. It's kind of a sore subject with Dad because, and then he told me that the guy that had been his marketing manager had just kind of taken everything and left. And left Grandpa kind of high and dry. So it wasn't a, happy ending to that story, but I think it's really interesting that he crossed over into that because of the merchandising thought behind it.
You know, I don't think it's a well-known fact that Roy Rogers got the NFL into merchandising. I mean, I had never heard of that ever before, ever. I think that's an amazing
story. That's the one thing
story.
That people have asked me, what do you wish you had put in the book? That's it.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to put that in the book, but... But I can say it.
Yes, you can.
There you go.
We're going to get to the book. Trust me. I've got a lot of stuff that I'd like to get through with you. One of the things about Roy Rogers, your grandfather, that I learned early on was that from the very beginning, as far as I understand it, in all of his contracts, he made sure that he owned his likeness, his image, and his name. So that, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Well, that's a genius move.
They were playing hardball at Republic. And
yes.
The dispute that they had with Gene Autry, they were quickly coming up to with Grandpa as well, because they didn't pay their people very much money, their stars. And Grandpa couldn't even return his fan mail because he wasn't making enough to even buy the stamps needed to send letters out. Many letters, because he was getting thousands of letters a week.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Right, absolutely.
And so he on $75 a week, that didn't go very far with trying to answer people. And that was just a basic, I don't know. He just
payment.
Felt that it was very important that he return the mail. And uh, the people at Republic said, I'll just toss it like some of the other people do. And he thought, I can't do that. And so there was a little bit of, you know, rough edges going on anyway with contracts and this and that. And he kind of saw the writing on the wall and thought, you know, I better protect myself and make sure that Trigger is mine, because his boss said, well, we'll just get another person to write Trigger.
Oh my God.
You know, we'll have another. And he said, well, you're not going to do that because I just bought the rights to Trigger. So you're not going to do that.
Yeah. What a great move on the part of your grandfather. I mean, that is... Yeah, that's got nothing to do with being an actor or a Western movie star. That's just being plain smart. That's really understanding the business that he was in. And so that meant that everything that came since then, every Roy Rogers, lunchbox, my kids gave me a thermos once with your grandfather on it, all those things, he had the rights to, am I right?
Right.
Yeah. Wow. So and I think there were hundreds of things that came out.
Oh, he had 400 plus items out with his name and likeness, second only to Walt Disney, actually.
Wow.
And, you know, Walt Disney, as you know, had a ton of stuff out. So
yes.
He was on top of that part of it. Later on in life, I think his friend Gene Autry was a much better businessman in other ways.
Yeah, I know.
And Grandpa was really sentimental, so he... You know, he did well at some things, and he lost out at other things because of his sentimentality. So, Gene thought it was silly that he mounted Trigger to put in the museum. And, you know, because that's one of the probably the main question that I get asked a lot is Trigger really stuffed? And Grandpa used to hate the word stuffed. He's mounted, he used to say. All right. But Gene thought it was just a horrible waste of money. Just throw them in the ground and be done with it. And Grandpa said, I just can't do that. I can't do that to him.
Right.
And he thought that his fans might enjoy seeing him in his rearing pose in the museum, like the Natural History Museums have animals.
Right,
you know,
absolutely. Sure.
But some people do think it's a little weird. And Grandma definitely thought it was a little weird. She would give him the side eye when he started talking about, you know, like maybe mounting buttermilk, and she said, well, you better not do anything to me, Bub, and stick me on buttermilk. don't you taxidermy me. So they go back and forth. They had a lot of funny conversations over that.
We're talking to Julie Rogers Pamelia, who is the granddaughter of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, and the book is Your Heroes, My Grandparents, which is out now, and we're going to... Why did you decide to write the book now? And I understand that it's really just a collection of your about 33 stories, if for lack of a better term, of your memories of your grandparents.
Memories, yeah.
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 What got you to do that?
Well, you know, you get to an age when you start looking at your grown kids and you think, you know, my kids don't really know how I grew up. Really. And they've heard bits and pieces, but it was starting to become important to me that my kids, I don't know, that I put something down on paper that my kids could go, okay, this is Mom. And so I was going to do it for a gift for them for Christmas. And then I go to these Western festivals and people always say, well, you've got so many great stories, you should write a book. And I'd say, well, I am writing a book, actually, but it's to my sons. And along the way, people convinced me to broaden my audience and get it published because other people might like to hear those stories, too. So that's really how it came to be. It was just a letter to my sons, really, and then it turned into a book.
Happy Trails to You, written, by the way, by Dale Evans. And that was a revelation to her granddaughter, Julie Rogers Pamelia, who is on the phone with us right now. Do you know that song, Julie, I don't know how many different versions there are, not versions, covers of it there are, but I know at least two. One was a band called the Quicksilver Messenger Service, and the other is Van Halen.
Yeah.
Van Halen, for crying out loud. I mean, wow.
He used to end his concerts like that, yeah.
That is amazing.
There's a lot of I have 10 trivia facts in the book about Happy Trails that I didn't even know.
Right.
Well, starting with the fact that I didn't know Grandma wrote that till I was 20 years old.
That's amazing.
Because nobody tells me anything in my family.
Well, now, wait a minute. It's more than not telling you anything in your family. What it said to me was that your grandparents were very humble. They didn't walk around going, look at me, I'm Roy Rogers. I mean, they didn't even, they didn't promote themselves in the family. I mean,
business
and in the movies and in show business, sure. But they didn't go strutting around and, you know, telling you how great they were. They didn't even tell you who wrote, they didn't even tell you that your grandmother wrote Happy Trails to you. And there's some other stories that, there's some other stories that you, I heard about where you didn't know anything about some of their history until you were in their 20s, and this is one of them. I mean, it just goes to show you the kind of people that they were. That's what I got out of it, you know.
Yes, it is. It is. But I would often joke with her because I, you know, grandchildren don't really pay attention. Even if somebody had told me all that stuff, I probably wouldn't have paid attention because you're just too busy playing and having fun with your cousins and doing whatever you do when you're growing up. And so, actually, a lot of information about them, just their career and other things, I find out from other people outside the family, or I have to call my aunt and uncle up and ask them, because I didn't know. I know all the grandchild stuff and all the family stuff.
Sure.
But I've had to kind of do my homework myself on dates and career moves and this and that. So it was just a very odd feeling to be sitting there in my dorm room and hear some guy on the radio tell me that my grandma wrote that song.
I understand. That has to be a very weird experience. But, you know, speaking of your grandparents and the way they were as people, not only did I believe that they had a lot of humility and weren't in the business outside of the family or inside the family promoting themselves, but the family itself was an example of inclusiveness that you really don't see a lot. Can you explain what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do, because, you know, we have still a very multicultural family. Grandma and Grandpa had 9 kids, and 5 of those were adopted. Mm-hmm. And one, I have an aunt that's Choctaw, Native American. I had an aunt that was Korean. I had an aunt that was from Scotland, and my uncle was abused really badly as a child, had a broken nose and some mild brain damage when they adopted him. And so they didn't just adopt the ones who were adoptable, that you know, most people want to adopt. Even my Aunt Mimi, when she was adopted or came over as a foster child from Scotland, she was already 12, and she had given up hope that she would ever be placed in a family. And so they didn't see ethnicity or age or color or any of that stuff as being an obstacle. So our family was very loving and inclusive and still is.
You know, people. So there are many people. It's sort of like some people talk the talk, but some people talk the talk and then also walk the walk. And your grandparents walked the walk. And I know that in some of the interviews I saw you give, the question came up, well, you know, who's going to be interested in Roy Rogers? What age group is this going to appeal to? And I understand I understand the initial thought of what demographic that may be. But I conducted a little experiment at my home today. I have Comcast cable or whatever it's called, and it has a remote on it. It has a remote, and you can push the remote, which is like a microphone, and you just say into the remote whatever you want to see, and it comes up on the screen. So I pushed I pushed the button. I said, Roy Rogers, 43 different locations where I could see Roy Rogers movies, TV shows, interviews with Clint. Who was it with? Clint Black? I mean, I think that there's still a lot of, I think people will discover your grandfather, quite frankly, because it's there. And I don't think it's ever going to go away. You know, that's just my opinion at any rate.
That's good. I didn't even know that.
I mean, I think good is good, you know, and I loved, you know, the idea that he was a cowboy, but not really like in the context of the old West. and had like a Jeep in the show. I mean, Nellie.
I never really understood that either. I mean, they had the horses, and then Pat Brady was alongside them riding a Jeep. I think it made it a quirky show. I liked it, but I wasn't really sure why the Jeep. But
well, I loved it. I never really questioned it until, you know, now. I think I just accepted it.
Well, now I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, we took Nellie Bell out in the desert to take her for a little spin when I was in my 30s, I think it was. And don't you know, she stalled and we couldn't get her started, and we had to call for help. And I thought, you know, she's just doing it again. I mean, this is exactly her M.O. And nothing changes.
Oh, man, that is a great story. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Where can people get your book? Let's get to that.
You can get it on Amazon in hardcover or paperback. And you can also get it on the Barnes & Noble website. And I'm working on a website right now, trying to get it up and running so that people can write in and, you know, have things on it, trivia.
Sure.
Asking questions and things, and they can buy the book, and I can sign it and send it back to them. And that will be info@julierogersfamilia.com.
Yes, take a few tips from your grandfather as far as marketing is concerned.
Yeah.
I think you might say he was pretty proficient at that, don't you think? I mean, wow.
Yes. Yes.
So, did you meet like Pat Buttram and Gabby Hayes and all of those characters that were roaming around in the series and the movies?
Yeah, we met a lot of them and a lot of other celebrities, but they treated everybody so much the same that I didn't know who was a member of their church coming over with a pie and and who was, you know, in the movie, because they were all just people.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gabby Hayes wasn't anything like his character. He was trained in British acting. He was very well-read. He wore his hair slicked back and he had teeth.
You're destroying my entire image of one of my heroes.
I know. He would go to work and take out his teeth and mess up his hair and he'd be Gabby Hayes. So he was like a totally different guy.
You know, I got to wrap it up now, Julie, but, you know, speaking of Gabby Hayes, Mel Brooks made a Western spoof called Blazing Saddles, and one of his characters Gabby Johnson, which was based on Gabby Hayes. Anyway, You were just great to talk to, Julie, and I hope the book is a big success, and I hope people still discover your father's work, because it's going to be there forever. And also, when you write a book, that's there forever, too. So congratulations on that, and thanks for being with us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
Thank you. Happy trails to you, Julie.
Happy trails to you, too.
I'm sure that's not the first time you heard that.